we went all in.
Yeah.
I mean, you can clearly see here that this is an all-in move. And again, we wanted to create something that was like genuinely special. When people say, look, this is going to be the best restaurant Lake Charles, I'm let down by that. I want this place to be one of the best waterfront restaurants in the country.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks for joining us on Louisiana's Playground Podcast, your roadmap to all things Lake Charles, Louisiana. I'm Brady Raynard.
And I'm Jillian Corder. We have all the authentic stories and experiences of all of Lake Charles and Southwest Louisiana for you here. Really exciting day. This is a very special podcast because of our beautiful location here.
Yes. And so because of that, we're on the patio of the new Crying Eagle Lakefront Restaurant, an anchor, if you will, to the lakefront here. We thought, what a better time to maybe add a small video component as we hopefully kind of, I guess I'll give you a little tease for next year. We plan to bring video to our podcast starting in 2026, in the in quarter one, possibly early quarter two of 2026. And so we thought a really good time, though, to showcase the beautiful views here on the patio. And so let's get to it. Episode 80, a great conversation. We, of course, shocker, are talking Crying Eagle Lakefront. We'll get to that with a great conversation with Eric Avery here in just a minute. But before we get to that, of course, you know what time it is.
Time for On V Eats. The way we begin every show with a little taste of Southwest Louisiana. And of course, we ate here at Crying Eagle Lakefront. And man, was it good. This place not only looks beautiful and has gorgeous views, but the food.
It is. And look, we're not going to go. Normally, we kind of explain a little bit about the restaurant, but we're going to do so much of that in the conversation.
Yeah.
So honestly, let's just dive right in into what we kind of had. We opened up with the char-grilled oysters and the crawfish queso. And both of those were great. Char-grilled oysters, you kind of know what to expect. They do it a little different here, Jillian. Since I know you're not the biggest oyster fan, you might not quite pick up on the intricacies. So they have what they called a tasso butter. So they have chopped up tasso, which is kind of like a ham, right? And it creates this like salty kind of flavor that they have over the top of the oyster as they char-grill it. And it's like sweet, a little sweet. It's savory. I, you know, you dab a couple spots of hot sauce on it that adds that real vinegar flavor. Well, don't ask. Some vinegar flavor. And so overall, it's a perfect char-grilled oyster. Yeah. It's probably one of the one of my favorite that I've ever had.
Okay.
Very, very good. And then on the side of that, we also got crawfish queso, which is exactly what you would expect, right? Like it's yummy, yummy crawfish and queso kind of comboed in there. And they serve it not with chips, not with crackers, but with crackalins.
Crispy.
Yes. And spicy and flavorful and salty. And it's like the crawfish is the perfect like salty complement to the dip. And then you get like the crunchy flavor complement that is the cracklin. And, you know, cracklins are so good. It's more really more of a pork rind than a cracklin, a traditional cracklin. Yeah. And so it's really crispy and light and so crunchy and so good. And I'll say this, the crawfish queso to me was almost like a fettuccine is kind of what it tasted like.
Okay.
It was like a crawfish fettuccine sauce.
Yeah.
And so, so good. Highly recommend either of those if you're wanting to kind of have a starter for the table.
Yeah. Okay. So let's move on though to our entrees.
Okay.
Okay. So I, under the handhelds section of the menu, which is normally where I stay, right?
That's my
jam. That's my safe space is the handheld section of the menu.
What was that, the movie with Kevin, Kevin James and Will Smith, where he's like, this is your area. This is you. You don't leave this.
Yeah, none of that craziness.
Yeah, this is handhelds right here.
Yeah, that's it. That's where I'm at. So handheld. So all things sandwich wraps and burgers, right? And I got the I-10 smash burger. So it's Wagyu beef. Sharp cheddar cheese, which is my favorite kind of cheese. And that says a lot.
Is it? See, I learned something. I'm your who's Bond, and I learn something every day.
It depends on what it is, but on a burger, like a real beefy burger.
Beefy burger.
I like cheddar and caramelized onions, which I normally don't even get, but got on this burger.
Yep.
The caramelized onions were so good and so cooked down just perfectly. Sure. And they live between the two patties, because it's two patties, by the way.
Of course. It's a smash burger. You're not going one patty.
Well, Maybe I should have, because I could barely eat half of it. But the onions lived between the two.
Yeah.
And the cheese kind of was draped over the entire thing and had a signature sauce on it.
Yeah.
Kind of like, I mean, it gives you vibes of most places' signature sauces, you know, that, right, that secret, yeah, ingredient.
You know what to
type
expect.
Of thing.
It's the burger sauce.
It's the burger sauce here.
Yeah, yeah.
Really, really good. Got it with the shoestring French fries that it comes with. That just, I mean, absolutely just
they're
great.
Kind of like
they're
beefy
thin.
Shoestrings in like they're a little thicker than like you would probably think of like
I loved them.
But they were
crunchy.
Awesome. But see,
really
I like
crispy.
A thicker potato. So to me, it's like the best of both worlds. You're getting the thinness of a shoestring, but it's still a little thicker. So you're getting more potato. It's a win every way.
As I always say, my favorite potato is the one in front of me. So I was a really big fan. The burger, definitely don't pass it up. It's a good one.
Yeah. Well, I got what I think is going to end up being probably the most popular item on the menu. Because when you look out and you see the water, the first thing in my head is, ooh, I could go for some fish.
Yeah, seafood sounds good.
Right, yeah. And I went with the grilled redfish. And look, Chef Lyle is really known for his fish with what he's been able to accomplish in his career. And so I felt like it was kind of a perfect marriage to begin with. The grilled redfish on the half shell, it comes with jumbo lump crab, blackened asparagus, and then a brown butter cream that's kind of over it that just kind of adds a little, a little flavor boost to it. The first observation, the fish is huge. It's a huge piece of fish. And perfect, right? Like if I'm sitting down and want to eat fish, I want to eat fish. And so it was really amazing. It's kind of pan seared. The lump crab meat is such a nice little combo with it as well. It's so simple but effective, right? Right? Like that's kind of what fish is supposed to be at this level.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be simple because it's all about the technique when it comes to cooking fish, to making
there's
sure
an art
that,
to it.
And they nailed it. It's so good. It wasn't fishy. Just really, really enjoyed the fish and the crab.
And beautifully plated.
It was. It was. I put a picture. You can see it on my Facebook page.
I mean, just like it's a beautiful dish.
It was. The
just
asparagus comes
own.
Out underneath it.
Yeah.
And so it kind of soaks up a little bit of that buttercream sauce as well. The asparagus is very crunchy, but it's flavorful. It's cooked down. It's blackened. And so overall, like everything checked the box.
Yeah.
It was really perfect. And just, it was a really great meal. I also, too, I want to make sure I didn't mention it. I got the Mexican lager, too, the Donata, and it comes dressed with some salt on the rim and then a lime. That's going to be a really popular beer. I'm just, when you're out here and it's warm and you're looking out and, you know, a Mexican lager does such a good job at kind of.
A little salt on the rim.
Of kind of cooling you down and kind of setting you up in the right mindset and mood.
It was a
great beer. I myself am a big like Dos Equis fan, as you know. Modelo, all of the Mexican lagers are some of my favorite beers, and this one's right up there with it. I really enjoyed it right there on the draft.
Well, and I just think, you know, this place is obviously everything in a restaurant comes together, right? In just the perfect blend, the atmosphere, what you feel like right when you walk in, the food, the menu in general, and this place has it.
Yep, I agree.
There's an it factor, and Crying Eagle's got it.
Yeah, and so much of that will be discussed here upcoming in our episode, but right here on the lakefront, I mean, the location is as kind of pinpoint as you can make it.
Yep. Just exit off of I-10 right here at the lakefront.
From a great meal to a great guest, we welcome on Eric Avery, who is a man of many hats. And if I were to sit here and list all of your accomplishments, that would be pretty much the entire podcast. But to give you just a quick bullet points, he's a Southwest Louisiana native, a McNeese graduate, entrepreneur, published author, and the owner of Crying Eagle, both the university location, of course, and now here on the lakefront. Welcome to the show, Eric.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
So Southwest Louisiana is known for our big city amenities, but small town charm makes for a vast array of experiences that you can have here in Southwest Louisiana. But first up on this podcast, we always like to let our viewers and listeners know how you play in Louisiana's playground. So are you ready for some rapid fire questions?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, I think I know the answers to all of these. I think I know what you're going to say. First up, though, crawfish or gumbo?
Gumbo.
Good choice.
Yeah?
Good choice.
For the owner of a restaurant, I can understand that. Yeah, I get that one. Okay, next up is poolside or beachside?
Ooh. Depends on the mood, but traditionally I would say beach hut.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I think you have to with a waterfront property like this.
And the beach just a second away.
You are pretty much beachside here.
That's right.
At this new location. What,
is it just the outdoors? Is it just the, I mean, they're both outdoors, right? But
It's just the natural aspect of the beach. Yep. The sounds of the waves, the tranquility, the just the beauty and how the sand feels on your feet.
Of course.
And just anything that can just take a busy mind and bring it down a few notches is right up my alley.
Yeah.
Anything outside, yes.
It quiets the right things in my brain, and it wakes up something else,
That's
I think.
That's exactly right.
Anytime I'm outside. Okay. Last up here is concert or comedy show?
Oh, gosh. I'd probably say a comedy show. If you know me well enough, you know that I'm a bit of a jokester.
Yeah.
And now, granted, I love concerts, but it depends on who it is. Right?
Okay.
But yeah, look, really love comedy.
Yeah. So. It's always a good time to laugh.
And you know, not a lot of people, I think you're part of a small percentage of people, because everyone that comes on, I mean, we're probably, 80% are immediately
concert. Yeah.
That's right.
And then another 5% are like, I don't know.
Brady and I are more comedy people, too.
Yeah. Right. It's just, I like to laugh.
Of course.
Right? I like to have fun, and I like to enjoy every minute. I like, it's hard to go wrong with either one.
Yeah.
But again, I've been to some really great concerts, and I've been to some really bad ones.
Yeah.
Right. And, but comedy, you know, even good or bad comedy is usually going to laugh at it, either what they say or at them. So
Either way, you're going to laugh.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, let's get to the topic at hand, which, of course, is this wonderful restaurant that we've decided to be able to be on location for. That's how kind of special that we view it in our eyes. So highly anticipated. Can you tell us what this journey has been? It's 6+ years in the making, at least publicly.
Right. So, you know, saying the word surreal, you know, it just kind of overused. I haven't found words yet to describe the way I feel. I feel a sense of pride that I've rarely felt in my career. You know, as you're younger, you know, you have these aspirations and dreams and this drive and then this ambition to ratchet up a ladder to a certain extent, to think that, you know, success equals happiness. Mm-hmm. But what you realize as you get older and get more wise is that a lot of times you just want to be happy. I just want to be happy. I want to be a good dad, a good husband. I want to be a great boss and somebody that makes a difference in their to their community and to where I live. And so whenever I've started on this journey and just 6 years ago, and it was tough. I mean, I'm just, you know, I'm just trying to put it all into words, and, you know, you learn endurance, you learn persistence, you learn dedication, and you learn trust. And there are a lot of days I really wanted to pull the ripcord and like, no way, I can't do it. But you know, my family and I, we just kept churning through, taking one step and ahead of the, in front of the next, and to see it open and to see people's reactions to it, you know, it feels great. And a sense of pride, like that I've never felt before, that I've truly have made a difference in my career.
Well, man, am I so glad that you didn't bail on your dream here, because we're the better for it, right? Yeah. I think the entire community is. I mean, when you opened up Crying Eagle on McNeese,
that's right.
Such a success. It was so different at the time for Lake Charles. I think it was just the right answer to the needs of this area.
That's right. I wanted to, I wasn't always a beer drinker, but I fell into, I was introduced to breweries and craft beer through friends, my brother-in-law, and all these different people. And we would go to breweries, and I just thought they were the funnest, most engaging places. And I just remember going back one day and just telling my wife, I was like, why doesn't Lake Charles have a brewery? And I just couldn't understand it. And of course, I always had the entrepreneurial spirit, as my father and his father before him. And I said, I'm going to build a brewery, you know, and she quickly said, heck no, we're not doing that. But, and I don't win many arguments at home, but obviously I won that one. Okay. But, I wanted to bring something like this place. I wanted to bring something special, unique, and a place that I would want to go if I were visiting Lake Charles, and have it be memorable, have it be special, be creative, be unique, be impactful, and most importantly, be a true asset to the community. Yeah. And I think that I'm confident we are that over there. And of course, it's because of that success, it opened up this opportunity.
Yeah. Well, Crying Eagle has at this point kind of become synonymous with being a trendsetter, as you were saying, mentioning those. And we've talked about here on the podcast so much about the lakefront development and what this vision will be. And this is really the first big private portion of it.
Correct.
What does it mean for you to be a catalyst for what change will be coming to, hopefully, that Lake Charles and the downtown area might be unrecognizable in 10 years in the best way possible?
Well, like I said, I feel proud. I know that what Port Wonder has created was the true catalyst here. I know that there are people in the community that have questioned the viability and the logic behind building a children's museum on the waterfront, but I'd like to remind people that but before Port Wonder, what this place looked like, and if there were so many other great ideas before it, why weren't they done? Port Wonder, or let's just say, if you go visit any metropolitan area and you scroll through what are the most visited tourist attractions in any market, it's their museums. And children's museums also play a high role. They were the catalyst. I followed right behind them. I remember the city council, the city administrators, the mayor Hunter at the time, they were like, you know, we need a food and beverage concept, and we believe you to do a really good job. And when my family and I committed to doing it, we went all in.
Yeah.
I mean, you can clearly see here that this is an all-in move. Mm-hmm. And again, we wanted to create something that was like genuinely special. When people say, look, this is going to be the best restaurant in Lake Charles, I'm let down by that. I want this place to be one of the best waterfront restaurants in the country.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. And I generally believe once you experience this place and all the thought and all the passion and all the love that went into making it, not only the real estate, but the food and the beverage, that it can be in time. Mm-hmm. So Robert, it feels great. Yeah.
Yeah. And we were just talking about it, that for as much waterfront property as we have in this town, in this area, we don't have many restaurants that are truly waterfront. Loggerheads at the Calcasieu River. Yep. And, you know, we haven't had another one here in a decade or more.
That's right.
Really taking this opportunity to be here. And I know our listeners can't see this gorgeous view, but for those that are watching it is so strange. I was just saying what a little bit of height can do for a view, for a vantage point. This is an incredible view from this patio.
Yes, it's there was a lot of thought and attention and expense to get this view, because right along where we're sitting now, below us, is where the beach once was. Mm-hmm. Okay, so for the building to be at this point, we had to actually recover water property and turn it, and the whole vision being that at some point in phase 2, 3 and beyond, that this would be navigable by the waterway, by boats, and you could pull up and you could also put all the developments much, much closer to the water, thus giving it these panoramic views that you see here. I mean, and they are, they're,
yeah,
it's sensational.
It really is, and it is so different and so unique. And I think you're right when you say that it's going to be one of the restaurants that's the best anyone's ever been to. And I think you're quite onto something.
Yeah, and especially once you see the food menu. You know, we're a brewery too, so and it's not like we're just learning how to make beer for the first time. We've been dialing these recipes in for 6 years, and they are unique to this property as well. But I feel that we're swinging a big stick in a lot of ways, from our food, beverage, and of course the real estate side.
We're just not talking softly about it, though. We're not going full Teddy Roosevelt. We'll swing the big stick and we'll talk loudly about it.
That's
too.
That's exactly right.
Obviously proud of this place. So take us through it. There's indoor and outdoor seating, as you can see, obviously, here on the patio. You guys have, I think, 3 different bars. Y'all have kind of lounge areas. There's private dining. What is the guest experience?
The guest experience I'm not going to say it's infinite, but this building and the way it was designed was to allow for our guests to come here and have almost completely different experiences wherever they sat throughout mm-hmm. the property. Just like you said, we've got three bars. They're all beautiful. They're all unique. We have the main dining room. We have the upstairs inside dining room. We have the balconies. We have the lawn space. And you've just got a lot of different spaces to have a lot of different experiences. And that was the goal. It's like, you want to have something that just doesn't get old and get kind of boring and get kind of mm-hmm. stale. And I think that the way that it was designed, I think that it would be very difficult for this particular property to get old and stale because of the way it was designed and the decor and the thought that went into to the development of it.
And I think your menu got the same treatment, huh?
It did. So everybody knows Chef Lyle Broussard, fantastic. What I love about Lyle is not only is he a fantastic chef, he's a great human being.
Okay? For sure.
He's a great mentor. He's a great leader. And he's very collaborative, okay? Because that's one of the things that when he and I talked about coming on board and being a part of this project is that, look, Crying Eagle is not not just solely and every decision being an Avery decision, okay? It is a democracy. You know, we come together. We're a family, we're a unit, and we're all part of the process and the growth of it. Mm-hmm. And that would be the case for creating the menu as well. So we had a team of people that got together and for weeks and weeks and weeks, and we each created our own menu on paper. And then we just would go out there and we would almost sell the particular dishes to the other group. And then eventually it was whittled down and refined. Cooked, tested, rinse, repeat over and over until you get what you have today, mm-hmm. which is just something truly unique. And again, the menu also represents the way that my family and I and a lot of our staff here like to dine. It's great for small plates, for ordering a bunch of small plates, groups coming together, fellowshipping, loving one another, talking life, kicking back and just trying a whole bunch of stuff and enjoying every bit of it. And most importantly, representing what's, from a culinary perspective, what's great about our state. Mm-hmm. So you'll see, we do have Peruvian-inspired dishes. We have Mexican-inspired dishes. You know, we have all sorts of inspirational dishes on our menu that are not local to our area. However, what we have done with those dishes and how they've been prepared and the ingredients mm-hmm. are, in fact, truly Louisiana, and that's why we feel our menu is so unique.
You had mentioned Lyle getting someone like Chef Broussard on. He's been a chef to watch. He's competed at the highest level and almost won the highest level. I think he tied the time that he was he was almost the seafood king. So he has been at that level. Getting someone like that to come on, how does that help you separate both on the menu and kind of the restaurant in general? I mean, your executive chef is as big of a star as this building is.
That's right. So Lyle Broussard and I go back a long way. So I remember whenever I first launched Crying Eagle, 10 years ago, the very first establishment to carry our beer brands was Lyle Broussard at La Berge Casino. Mm-hmm. And he not only did he help bring our beers onto property there, but he also did a full beer dinner with our beers. And I didn't know the man from the moon,
right?
But the fact that he went so far above and beyond to help us get out there and get recognized, I never forgot that, right? And it's not like Lyle and I became best friends going mm-hmm. forward because, you know, our paths are radically different in life. But however, I knew that whenever my family and I all collectively knew that if we could ever see this project come to fruition, that he would be the guy that we would really want to make happen. Mm-hmm. But he had been there at La Berge for a long, long time. And he had a lot of loyalty and a lot of love for a lot of people there.
Yeah.
Okay. They were very good to him. But however, you bring him to this property and this place, as you can see, it's just special, okay? Mm-hmm. And there are certain things that, you know, sometimes you meet these certain people in your life that just, had this charisma, this charm, this purpose. This project has that too.
Sure.
And once he saw it, and I expressed the vision that we were going to do, and the collaborative effort that it would be, that it was almost impossible to say no. And we have been right by his side, offering him as much support as we can possibly provide, and it's been just a fantastic partnership. And the chemistry works, because mm-hmm. we also have the brewing side as well.
Well, if you don't mind me asking, with obviously everything that's going on here, what changes, if any, happens at the university location? What's the kind of the grand future with Crying Eagle?
Brady, it's great that you asked me that, because one of the number one questions we were asked when we announced this project 6 years ago is like, well, what are you going to do with the mm-hmm. with the university location?
Yeah.
And it was like, well, what do you mean? What am I going to do? I mean, we're going to keep it. We're going to do better. But it also gave us a reason for pause, right? Because mm-hmm. we wanted to make sure, if they're asking, and we're being asked so often, like, what are you going to do with it? Then that gives us some really food for thought, and how we design and develop this particular property to where they don't compete with one another.
Yeah.
But they unite and complement one another almost like a hand in a glove. And so not only are we going to keep the university as special, university location as special as it always has been, but we look to push the envelope even harder with bigger, better, more events, better entertainment, more a heavy hand on the beer side, mm-hmm. and just being a great social setting to where people from all walks of life can come together and congregate and feel a certain unity that you can rarely feel anywhere else.
Yeah. Well, but you know, the two locations are obviously very different, right? But they have that same DNA. You walk in and you see all the brewing equipment mm-hmm. and everything like that. They clearly have the same DNA running through them, but they are unique.
That's right. So just as you said, Jillian, we've got like the architecture here, albeit it looks radically different, but there are very subtle touches to the real estate mm-hmm. that do bring it back into our roots, from the exposed beams inside yeah. the building to the rivets on some of the, mm-hmm. you know, it does have a sexy, chic feel here, mm-hmm. but it also ties into the industrial aspect of where our roots are, mm-hmm. even from the light fixtures that are designed as almost organic molecules to trace back to the chemical component of what we do in the brewing aspect.
I love that.
Well, talking about the beers, what are there any unique brews here? And ultimately, I guess, how have you integrated what you guys were already doing on the beer front here?
Right. So, again, our goal was to make sure that these were very unique properties, from how they looked, how they feel, the food, uh-huh. and the beer side. Okay. So we felt that if we were to just replicate all the great beers that we have at our university location here, well, that could be a reason to not go to the other one. Mm-hmm. Or if people were there, maybe not to come to this one. Okay. So we have been test batching these particular beers for the lakefront location for 6 years, right? And there are only 10 of them. And they will stay fairly consistent throughout the year. Whereas at the university location, where we are very beer heavy, you're going to see a lot of that that diversity and mm-hmm. interesting and some eclectic and some very culinarily inspired beers. But here, they're very clean, very classic of the tiered beers. We've got 6 of them are lagers, mm-hmm. right? We don't sell the big domestic brands like Bud Light, Miller Lite, Coors, Modelo. But we have answers to those very specific yep. beers as well, okay? Because you got to remember, you can get Bud Light, Miller Lite, and Coors Light anywhere else in this city. Mm-hmm. And but here, we have something special. And our beers, like I said, we're very proud of the beers we're brewing. We're brewing at Ryan O'Donnell and his team are brewing at a very, very high level right now. And we will keep these beers very different than over there.
How do you see this place growing alongside everything else? How do you feel like it complements what's already here as well? Like what's the profile here moving forward, and how does it kind of fit into what will be the lakefront?
That's a really good question. I think that Port Wonder and Crying Eagle can almost be what they call in the real estate world anchors, mm-hmm. right? But I think that they're going to be great anchors, and they have set the tone for what the lakefront will be, not only today, but moving forward, okay? Because I remember whenever we sat down, there was a group of people at City Hall, and we talked about, okay, when we do this, we are setting a permanent tone for the lakefront. What is that tone going to be? Is it going to be, it just can't be thrown together, hodgepodged, because this is the very important property for the city. I think that what we have done, in the not only from culinarily speaking, but also from a real estate side, that, you know, we've set the bar very, very high, okay? We know that, you know, whether it's our own future developments mm-hmm. or others who are to develop going forward, the bar is set very high, okay? Mm-hmm. And what goes here is going to be scrutinized, and it's going to be, we're going to make sure that there is tremendous value add to, first and foremost, the citizens of this city, okay? But also designed to where everything built going forward don't compete with one another, but complement one another.
Sure.
A situation where 1 + 1 = 3 for every development moving forward. And you can obviously, we have beautiful buildings here. You'll see, continue to see beautiful developments, aesthetically pleasing developments, but that complement one another and can really just make tremendous impacts in the city for years and years and generations to come.
How would you describe so far, if you're in this kind of soft opening phase right now, accepting reservations only,
yep, right?
Right. How would you describe the feedback so far?
Okay. Truthfully, or what?
Yeah, like give me the honest answer.
Okay, so I've been telling a lot of people, so, you know, how's it going? And this and that, even my wife every day, you know, how's it going? I tell Jennifer, some days we're the bird and mm-hmm. some days we're the worm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I feel that every day we're seeing improvement. Mm-hmm. And as long as we're doing that, I'm happy. I know that the decision has been, for some people, unpopular, that I've limited it to reservations only and keeping it small. But like I said, I'm playing a long game here.
Yeah.
Okay. I've got too much at risk. We've got too much to lose by just jumping in, throwing thousands of people here every day, people having terrible experiences, and that's all they remember. Unfortunately, in the food and beverage game, you don't get a lot of chances. Mm-hmm. And if I'm being honest, you really only get one.
Yeah.
Okay. And while I would wish that up until this point, after 9 days open, that it has been a fantastic experience for everybody, it hasn't been. Okay. We have had some situations, long lead times, undercooked food, a problem that any restaurant does.
Sure.
Not only when they open, but forever.
Okay? Right.
You get one cook having a bad day, well, that can spin your whole kitchen off. But overall, globally, I look for a few things. One, I make sure that the morale and the chemistry within the team is strong. Okay.
Yeah.
And two, it is our goal, my family and I, to be cheerleaders. Okay. Mm-hmm. We've got some incredibly qualified people here, and we just got to make sure that we just walk around and be encouraging and uplifting, and know that every day we're going to have some wins, we're going to have some losses, okay? But learn from each
yeah.
and every win and loss, and make sure that we just get a little bit better every day. And over time, those little bit of additions to your business
yeah.
amount to compound growth that is hard to quantify.
Well, there's no training for a staff or a restaurant like there is opening it, right?
That's,
I mean,
right.
there's nothing quite like it. So I think yeah. I think there's a very strategic way that you're opening here, and it makes sense. If me having to call ahead to make sure I have a great time here,
yeah.
well, then okay, I'm gonna call ahead.
and look, there was at one point we've tried here and we were able to get in, and it was kind of a last minute on us because we had some plans canceled, and we got in.
You got in.
Yeah.
So you're not getting turned away.
Well,
necessarily.
We've told the staff that we're making every accommodation to seat people if they have made the effort to come here.
Sure.
Okay. However, there have been numerous situations where, unfortunately, we just haven't been able to seat them.
Yeah.
And I'm very rigid on our plan that, like, okay, we're not going to overwhelm the staff or the kitchen.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Because not only do we not want our patrons to have a great experience. I also don't want the people that work here, you know, to just get run down, beat up, and just feel, you know, demotivated because we're trying to just seat as many people as possible.
Well, I bet they love to hear that. I bet they appreciate that as employees.
They do.
I would think so.
Yeah. And we didn't just show up at the door. We went online and found a reservation. Let me be clear about how we,
So if somebody does want to book a reservation right now before you open up fully, how does one do that?
So you got a number of different ways. And those, how you do it is being increased every day.
Okay.
But right now, the easiest way to do it is go to our website. Mm-hmm. We just finished updating our website to where you click on it, cryingeagle.com. You got two locations. Pick the lakefront. Right, scroll down. You see reservations there.
There you go.
You're also going on our Google pages. We're putting on our social media handles, Instagram, Facebook, Yelp, TripAdvisor. It's getting out there. Okay, but again, I don't have this monstrous marketing and infrastructure like some of these bigger restaurant brands that can come in with a team of people and make all this stuff happen instantly.
Sure.
You know, we're a family owned company and we're tackling every problem that we can every day and trying to make the experience to be able to come here and experience it easier and easier for our guests.
Yeah. Well, you know, Eric, I've got a question for you. I'm going to come here on my boat.
Okay.
How can I park?
We got a boat?
It's not important about you're asking the wrong questions.
Apparently we're getting a boat.
Yeah. How do I get here?
That's another great question, Brady, because that is another one that has been asked routinely over and over and over. One, what are you doing with the other location? Mm-hmm. I've answered that question. Number two, is there boat access? Okay. And while, yes, there is boat access to the Lake Charles Lakefront right now. However, it is not the most ideal. Okay. What the city has done is they have opened up about 600 linear feet of our beachfront. Mm-hmm. For boats to park just as they do at the Golden Nugget in the Burge, right? Okay, not everybody wants to park their boat on the beach, okay? We also currently have two piers that boats can pull up to, mm-hmm. both of which are unfortunately not directly in front of our property. However, they are a solution for us right now until we take phase two and have a marina built with the partnership of the city, maybe some outside stakeholders, however that looks. But again, nobody is in a mad dash to develop the lakefront fully. Mm-hmm. This is like, you just need to let it, like a day-old gumbo. You got to let the flavors marry together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the next day, it tastes better than the day before that.
I agree.
And so to make sure that we do this right, you know, what kind of boat docks do we want to build? What does the marina look like? All those things are coming, but we have solutions for people to get here by boat.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, yeah, and the boat dock is literally right over there. That's so true. It's not far at all. And clearly, you know, you mentioned phase two. There are plans, big ideas that still haven't come to fruition yet. And I know that I, for one, just, like, can't wait to see what happens.
Right. So, course, I can't leave well enough alone, right? and my family and I, we love traveling, and we see some just sensational ideas throughout the country or wherever we travel. And, you know, some things are cool. You like that. You're glad that you went there. And other things, the experience was so great, they shake you to your core.
Yeah.
And there's one of those moments like, why doesn't Lake Charles have something like that?
Yes.
And if anybody can do it, you know, we can do it, you know, mm-hmm. because that's one thing about my family and I is that, you know, we're hard-headed people. We don't believe that we can fail, right? It's just not in our DNA. And so we've got some really, really interesting ideas and concepts for future development here on the lakefront that would be a perfect complement to what we've got here and would bring so much value add to not only the citizens, but the people visiting our city to where they would be so game-changing that it could make Lake Charles to become one of the most visited cities in our entire state. And those are the kinds of developments that mm-hmm. that we're looking at and that those who are interested in developing on the lakefront, that we guide them to.
Well, they have an excellent starter piece right here, an anchor, if you will.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate you having you here on the podcast. All right. Thanks again To Eric for joining us here on the show. And the biggest thank you of all goes out to you and you out there that listened here on the podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please, we ask you every time and we mean it, please leave us a rating or review, a comment, wherever you get your podcast. We appreciate hearing from you and questions and any of those things.
Yeah, of course, that helps us further grow our audience and share the unique experiences that Lake Charles and all of Southwest Louisiana have to offer. So go to visitlakecharles.org/podcast for more episodes, advice on where to eat, and events that are happening this weekend. I'm Jillian Quarter.
And I'm Brady Raynard. Thanks again for coming to play at Louisiana's Playground. Set you.